This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. And the world famous coaching changes episode on the way.
Mucho importante.
I've heard from people that this is one of their favorite episodes.
That's great.
And I believe that people.
I believe you do not enjoy doing this episode. All the coaching research, all the boring sludge to go through.
Sometimes it feels like a lot. I mean, I guess the truth is I feel like there are some major storylines in the coaching hiring process. It's not like I undervalue the changes that happen, but then, like, I don't know, there's some teams that did some dumb stuff.
Yeah, and
it just ruins the season for their players.
I think there are some very uninspiring hires. Now, I will caution us all that one of the most uninspiring hires to me personally, this is called a swing and a miss, was when I just couldn't really comprehend the hiring of Sean McVay.
Sure.
Back in the day, 32-minute-year-old Sean McVay, and it was okay. I think they won that one.
Calling that one uninspiring that's not the right word. I think just it felt baffling, and
it was a good call.
Egregious at the time, yeah.
So, you know, hopefully some of today's uninspiring hires for those fan bases, they turn out to be the next McVay.
I mean, we are coming off a season in which multiple seasons, actually. When you go back to Nagy and then, you know, Arthur Smith, where we've seen the polarization of impact, right? When you bring somebody in and they make a tremendous difference to the weapons on the team, translates to fantasy football, or vice versa. We're going to talk about a team that made a very splashy head coaching hire and yet leaves the fantasy community in a place of wondering what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking through all of the big coaching changes on today's show. And a reminder, 3 days left, 72
hours. 3 days left.
Thanks, Mike. That sounded like you were telling everyone to get on the train before it left.
It's pretty much the same thing.
UltimateDraftKit.com, your last chance for pre-order bonuses. You got to order it by March 1st to get a chance to win a Listener League spot. A chance to come and play with us in the Listener League in 2024. It's also the lowest possible price on the UDK, UDK Plus right now. UDK Plus gets you instant access to the Dynasty Pass. We have been knee-deep in rookie rankings and draft prep, and so
I'm belly button level now.
You were, what did I say, though?
Knee. Yeah. We're almost fully submerged.
We're past the point of no return.
I'm hoping to drown soon. be all the way underwater. Mm-hmm. You know, to,
we're
to,
hoping
you,
that too.
Thanks, bud.
You could just submerge without well, drowning.
I'll try to hold my breath, but you can't breathe underwater.
Give him a snorkel.
That's the thing.
So that's ultimatedraftkit.com. Welcome in.
You can't breathe underwater.
Also, on that note, if you are someone that has already bought the Ultimate Draft Kit, you got the UDK Plus, and you've taken a look, you are still entered into that, even if it was before now. Anyone who gets it by March 1st, you'll be entered in that. But maybe you bought it the day it came out, Super Bowl Sunday, and you went and you looked at the rookie rankings and the Dynasty Startup rankings. Those have really been evolving. You know, the last week, I know mine have personally changed quite a bit. So if you're doing a startup or you took a look already, take another look at the rankings. And, you know, we will continue to make sure we polish those as we get closer and closer to the draft.
That is true. Let's talk some news.
News and notes from around the league.
Really, the headlines right now are around the franchise tag. There are a number of running backs that, at least of this recording time, have been, it's been said that they're not going to be franchise tagged. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler. All of those players, at least as of this recording, pretty strong words being put out that they will test free agency. So that's big. I mean, those are big names.
And be allowed to test free agency.
Yeah, be allowed. And, you know, we have a couple of players, though, that it seems like, one that we have confirmed, T. Higgins, wide receiver for the Bengals. The franchise tag has been placed on T. Higgins. That is what we're hearing.
That
right?
is official, and so he will not be going anywhere. The other one I think you're alluding to is Michael Pittman Jr., who that one is not official, has not been done.
It's just been said that they either will or they'll work out a deal.
Right, and they have until March 5th. The deadline to place these tags on players is coming up here next week on the 5th.
Yeah, that's always it's fun to see what happens. I mean, the cap is going up in the NFL in terms of the salary cap. Significantly more than people even expected. It's somewhat of a rebound from the COVID era reductions due to the fact that fans weren't attending games and they had to cut things back at that time. But it does mean that, you know, every year we talk about cap space, but the cap changes and teams have the ability to kick the can down the road to become more flexible with restructures. And it allows teams that seem like they weren't going to be in contention for certain players to be in contention or to extend players that we didn't see them keeping. And at least right now, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, two of the what would have been the biggest fish in the wide receiver pool, they don't seem like they're going anywhere.
Nope.
So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, which would make Mike Evans the most.
Mike Evans, Calvin Ridley.
Elvins?
I heard Alvin.
Yeah, I
Alvin
definitely put Elvins? An L in somewhere.
Yeah.
Not sure where, but I was thinking Calvin Ridley. So it kind of
okay.
merged.
So Higgins, Pittman, were you surprised? I mean, for me, the Higgins, it's going to be what, $21 million
for a year? I don't recall the number.
Kyle, can you confirm that number? I think it's $21 million.
He says correct. I mean,
you got a microphone, right, Kyle?
Yeah, but
it is correct. $21 million.
Oh,
thank you.
Gross.
Thank you.
Gross.
Yeah, don't talk.
Yeah, don't talk, Kyle. Gross.
It's. I don't think it's all that
surprising.
That's
a lot of money.
They have money, so that
all right.
they can.
It's a good
reason I'm saying
to
that they
spend
have
it.
They have some cap space, and maybe you don't want to. I mean, this is the perfect thing for the Bengals if you don't lock yourself in long term with T. Higgins, but give this group a
another shot.
Last year got deleted with just unfortunate injuries. They felt like they had a chance to make a Super Bowl run with the wide receivers. So what will be very interesting then to watch for the Bengals is, do we get a day two draft capital of a wide receiver? Because that would be the action that says that T. Higgins is going to get his money, he'll play 1 year, and then he'll be somewhere else.
Tyler Boyd is a free agent, not expected back with the team.
Which, just quick dynasty. Check your waiver wire, see if Charlie Jones is on the waiver wire. He could – not that Tyler Boyd was super valuable when the big two were on the field, but he's just a name that could be out there on your waiver wire as well.
I'm just gonna peel.
Yeah, go for it.
Just I'm
gonna
peel back
the curtain.
There is another receiver beyond Charlie Jones that I think.
I've got him on my dynasty roster stash.
Is it Yoshi Voss? Yoshi Voss? Yoshi Voss.
I think so. But when you.
But none of us wanted to be the first to try it.
Yeah.
Hey, I brought up Charlie Jones.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
A real hero.
Do we have a pronunciation guide on Charlie Jones? Yeah, Iosivas.
Which says, obviously, Yoshi Voss. Yeah.
Yeah, but either way, both of those guys, see if...
Also known as Yoshi from now on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Much easier.
Yeah. What else? DeMarcus Robinson coming back to the Rams. He really made a lot of plays late in the season for them. 1 year deal.
Yeah.
For about a quarter of that T. Higgins money.
I've seen him as a pretty good draft deal right now in best ball.
I could see that for sure. I mean, the odds of Cooper Kupp getting hurt at some point during the season seem to be very high anyways.
Yeah, fair.
So, yeah. And we got some news that Tyler Higbee looks like he'll start the season on PUP. I mean, he got hurt so late in was it the playoff game? I think it was.
It was that late?
I'm pretty sure it was the playoff game. But, you know, you're talking middle of next season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes the Davis Allen chatter interesting.
Yeah, Davis Allen is another great name to look on your dynasty.
Yeah.
You're upset because I picked him up in our main dynasty league.
I know he was rostered in that league. I don't know when he became unrostered, but you put him back on your team, and then
And then you were sad to see that. But yeah, Davis Allen is a worthy dynasty pickup at tight end.
This is the season of go find contract situations, and especially at the tight end position, because starters I'm not saying elite players, but tight ends who will get a starting job, and then in a pinch you can put them in. This is the time that they're just available on the waiver.
Last year at this time, or a little bit earlier than this, it was Ferguson.
Yep.
You know, we were telling people go pick up Ferguson of the Cowboys because Schultz is moving on and he could step in, and then he was a very, very relevant fantasy option last year.
All right, any other news, Brooksy? Do you have anything
for
us?
Two pieces of little news. It has been reported that Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers will not be doing all the fun stuff at the combine.
Yeah.
They'll be there and do interviews, but I don't blame them. But I'm mad at them.
Yeah, you'd like to see the numbers, but he can gain nothing from it.
Yeah, if I were him, no chance.
I wouldn't even go
or anything. But I'm still mad that you're not, because I want to see it.
Yeah, I mean
Kyle is saying we got news that Rome Odunze will run.
Okay,
so
that'd be fun.
At least we get one of them.
Yeah, I mean
does that make him feel like a loser?
No,
it's like, your agent.
I feel like it's the opposite.
You gotta.
Yeah, with Nabers and Harrison not there, he's the
star now.
He's the BMOC.
Okay,
you know what that means, right?
Big man on campus.
That's right. Top 10 pick maybe. We've been going through the wide receivers like crazy, but it's like you could see 10 to 12 really good names off the board by the end of the second. But what's crazy is you could see 10 wide receivers off the board before you see a running back off the board.
Yeah, it really is true. And it's a deep class. It's really ironic because right now you've got four guys that are clearly on most people's big boards at the top, the consensus four. And after that, when it goes from 5 to 12, any one of those players could be the next one drafted. And I don't remember it being that wide a range. Our Dynasty show, Mike just had a great episode this last week going through the incoming rookies, and then tomorrow our Dynasty show will go through the second half of those rookie wide receiver prospects.
What's crazy in the way it's setting up right now is you have maybe 10, 11, 12 wide receivers that could go off the board before a running back. The running back class seems very inferior to previous years. The top running back off the board on a lot of people's lists is Jonathan Brooks, who is coming off of an ACL injury.
Mm-hmm.
And teams that might be looking at the classic, hey, I'm just going to draft a running back and make him my starter, now have Henry Jacobs, Saquon Eckler, Pollard on the free agent pool to decide which of those options you want to use. Do you have the confidence in a Braylon Allen or a Jonathan Brooks or whomever, Trey Benson, you guys love. Mm-hmm.
Blake Corum.
Blake Corum, yeah. Or do you just, like, rent a guy for a year? Because I could see out of those five free agent running backs, you seeing multi-year deals out of these guys?
Yeah. I mean, Saquon and Josh Jacobs, I think, will get multi-year deals. Derrick Henry will probably get a 1 year.
I think Pollard could get a 1 year as well.
I agree.
Like a reprove it or something. Like,
it might be structured as like a 2 year, but where they can cut him after one.
Because you could go pay Pollard for a year and then come back to next year's draft. That might be stronger at running back. I don't know. All right. That'll do it for news and notes. We're going to jump right into the coaching changes.
Coaching Carousel.
This year we have 8 new head coaches, 15 new offensive coordinators. Last offseason was just 5 head coaching changes, so it's up. Last year's 5 changes.
I mean, it's you're not wrong to say last year was only 5, but imagine a world where there are 32 jobs,
right,
and 5 became available. There's only 32 in the world, and 5 opened up. Like, imagine my luck that I can try and get a job as a coach. This is
so.
You better love football, because this cannot be good for your health.
Give me a reaction to. I'm going to read the coaching changes from last year. Just react to them for me briefly. A sound, a word, whatever you want to do.
Okay, all right.
Let's start with the Panthers, Frank Reich.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean he's already gone.
Yeah.
The Broncos, Sean Payton.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
The Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon.
TBD. They tore it down to the nubs. You can't tell.
It's just like a lost year. Yeah. Not an eval year.
No eval.
You're like pew pew psh, 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 boom.
Shots fired.
Oh yeah, yeah. D'Amico Ryans.
Sensational.
Yeah.
And then Shane Steichen.
I think that was a great hire. Yep. I like it a lot so far.
What's interesting is before we jump into the new hires, this is worth mentioning because the list is kind of insane. But when you're not hiring an offensive-minded head coach, and you look back historically all the way back to 2018, which I don't know how many coaches this is. It looks like about 20. If you're not hiring an offensive-minded head coach, it has not been good.
No.
And you're going back to like Patricia and Wilkes and Fangio and Flores and Matt Rhule and Matt Ja Rhule, Joe Judge and Ron Rivera and Brandon Staley and Lovey Smith. And I mean, I almost forgot Lovey Smith was the coach for a year. I guess that was he the whole year or was he interim? He didn't stick around.
I think if you are a defensive head coach, you really need someone like CJ Stroud. You know, then it's easier.
Because D'Amico Ryans is the one name.
Yeah,
so far.
He's doing great. Great head coaching that quarterback.
So just to throw it out there, the two head coaching hires this past year that we're going to talk about today, Gerard Mayo, Mike McDonald.
So
those are the two defensive-minded head coaches with a shot.
Yep, and part of it, I mean, just me trying to figure out what's going on, because offensive, like if you're not the offense, your OC position, it turns over, because mm-hmm. if you're – a good team, and your offense was capable, your OC is getting a head coaching job.
Bobby Slowick,
except for this year, they turned him down.
The offensive coordinator for the Texans next year will probably be a head coach. That's right. My guess.
He could have taken a job this year, and so Ben Johnson could have taken a job.
Yeah, and they said no, they wanted to wait for better opportunities. But your point, Mike, is then all of a sudden this defensive head coach now has to go out and find.
Yeah.
They've got to replace and find a way to make the offense work.
They have to hit again.
And it doesn't quite happen the same with defensive coordinators constantly getting hired away.
All right, let's begin with the Atlanta Falcons, new head coach, new offensive coordinator. I think they maybe surprised some of the public with their hire of Raheem Morris, only because Bill Belichick's name had been circling in Atlanta. But they certainly didn't surprise anybody that has been around the NFL. Raheem Morris is one of the more respected names in football. And he's been a head coach before and is going to be the head coach taking over for Arthur Smith. Immediately hires Zach Robinson at offensive coordinator. Reactions to this? Obviously, we had a lot of narrative discussion on Arthur Smith and the impact to Pitts and Bijan and London and the entire offense?
I would react positively of it, like the hiring of Raheem Morris was fantasy wise going, oh, okay, here we go. But they went into the department store. They got that cologne de McVay. Zach Robinson, who was an LA Rams assistant for what, the past 4 years or so, a passing game coordinator for them as well. So you have to make the presumption that they're going to bring that offensive philosophy over. And when you have the right players in that offensive philosophy, I think good things happen. So I will be excited to see this team get away from what, the 31st in passing percentage, fourth in rushing, like balance that out.
Which led to 25th in points per game, by the way.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, yeah, because despite the fourth highest rushing rate, they ranked 28th in expected points per rush attempt. So when you're really bad at that, you know, you just want to keep doing it.
You have to establish it.
Zach Robinson coming in, I think, is going to be hopefully long-term good for fantasy. This was a PFF senior analyst.
That's wild.
A handful of years ago. So he is not one of these anti-metric type of guys, go with the gut. And he's really focused on quarterbacks. And I watched,
I love the gut, man.
Watched his press conferences and read what he's written on quarterbacks. And I think that is their focus right now. Their focus is find their quarterback. So they're sitting at what, like pick 8, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, 8th
overall.
Year
they pick, the Falcons are locked at 8.
So I feel like, I mean, I placed the wager today that they're taking a specific quarterback at 8, but I think they will.
You're keeping it a secret?
I think they'll take J.J. McCarthy, but okay. It's so early.
I'm not telling.
My point,
it did come
but it's very specific.
I'm just saying.
You can't bet it. I did.
Well, I didn't want to make people have to, you know, follow suit.
Gotcha.
But I think they are certainly focus on the quarterback.
I think that's a good point to bring up, though, because, you know, there's excitement in the fact that Arthur Smith is out the door. But there's still a lot of question marks with regards to who's behind center. You know, a lot of the efficiency, it was that way not because the running game just was unsuccessful, but they ran so much in some ways because they couldn't efficiently pass the ball. Like, it's a bit of a chicken or egg scenario there. You know, the confidence level in Heinicke to Ritter to Heinicke to Ritter, I mean, it was obvious that there was no confidence, right? I mean, Arthur Smith even got up in a press conference and, you're my guy, and then, you know, 5 minutes later he changes it because they didn't feel confident throwing the football down the field. We got nothing out of Pitts. London was inconsistent. And then Bijan, we know how talented he is in the passing game. It's going to come down to the quarterback more than it will Arthur Smith just leaving town, yeah, in my opinion, for the passing game to succeed.
I agree completely. And obviously if they were to make a push, go out and get Kirk Cousins, whoo, baby, I would be so excited. If they draft a quarterback, even if you like the quarterback they're drafting at 8, you're going to bet against the weapons for fantasy, the receiving weapons with a rookie quarterback.
So, but it's some change in an offense that has a lot of exciting, enticing weapons. So we can hope for the best there and see what that offseason quarterback ends up being. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk about our next team. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Well, 32nd in points per game, 32nd in total yards, 32nd in passing yards. That was where Carolina ranked last year. And, well, since 2000, Carolina's 4.7 yards per pass attempt ranked 763rd out of 766.
Oh, man.
So what you witnessed as you peeled your eyes open and forced yourself to watch was an all-time terrible offense. And
not
so,
the worst.
No, there were
Three worst teams in the last 23
and
years.
Only 762 better teams. But Carolina, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, Dave Canales comes over from Tampa, from Seattle. The TLDR, the headline on Dave Canales, is that he turned two quarterbacks that had very low expectations for their futures in Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield into like playoff caliber quarterbacks. And so in terms of a strategic hire, you just invested your entire future on Bryce Young. We got to like this hire of Dave Canales.
Yeah, I don't blame them for taking the shot at this. I mean, if you say, oh, 2 years ago he was with Geno, people didn't expect much. He looked like a wasted career, and then he had a fantastic season. And then last year, once Baker seemed like he was done and he was a backup to Kyle Trask, he goes in and resurrects him. And we've got this all this investment in Bryce Young. We need someone that can come in and hopefully get the most out. I don't mind taking the shot. I do think that it is a much lower odds of it working. Like we just talked about, 763rd of 766. It wasn't like, hey, it wasn't that good. You know, we saw Baker before Dave Canales be great. He had one of the best rookie quarterback seasons ever when he was a Brown, and obviously it got bad, but we have not seen Bryce Young do anything good or show flashes yet of brilliance in the NFL. So I believe this is a tall task, and more than likely it's going to be one of those situations where 2 years from now we're going to be talking about who the Carolina Panthers are hiring as their head coach.
Well, because you don't believe in Bryce Young.
Correct.
So that's an important thing to bring up here and now, because there will be additions to this Carolina Panthers offense, and they're all going to be dependent on Bryce Young's success. So let me just ask the question to quantify it momentarily here. What is the percentage chance that you think Dave Canales turns Bryce Young into a, I guess I'll say franchise quarterback for the team, somebody that's going to be their quarterback for the next 5 years? What is your percentage chance?
11%.
Okay.
I'll go 35%.
That's pretty high. I'd be about 20-25. That's going to say a lot, because if they have to reset both the head coach and the quarterback in 2 years, I mean, this franchise is what David Tepper, he's not going to be happy.
No, and he will
throw drinks all over the place.
He will make moves immediately. The big glaring difference here for Dave's team compared to the other ones. The Seattle Seahawks had two Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Buccaneers, you have Mike Evans, who, despite all the jokes on this show, Mike Evans will go into the Hall of Fame.
Yes,
like, it's so. And you got Adam Thielen and
who?
Jason will be picketing, though, right? Isn't that what we said?
Well, there's the first ballot.
Okay. Yeah. Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer.
You'll
just
pick
not,
at the first ballot.
He's yes. just not going to get in the first ballot.
So you have Thielen, and then
but
and you have no first round pick. So they're going to have to be very creative if they're or find a puka, find a diamond in the rough if they're able to really fix this thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find a puka, that'd be...
Yeah, look, they're not just everywhere.
No, now you sometimes you got to dig. Brad Idzik is the new offensive coordinator.
Okay, Brad.
Good luck, buddy.
Go get him.
This is the big one.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Brad?
No, we're moving on.
The next team. It's the biggest name. It's probably the biggest fantasy
His
impact.
Family had gathered round.
Do we need to say more about Idzik?
No.
Yeah, okay.
We need to be done All talking right. about Brad.
The Los Angeles Chargers. They got their man, Jim Harbaugh, coming from Michigan and a national title. New head coach.
Great hire, in my opinion.
You see these nicknames? So, Pro Football Reference, incredible site. They often have nicknames. I don't know where they
No,
get
I think
theirs.
These are their like official. Yeah.
All right, well, let me try these on for you, Jay. Don't read them. Don't read them.
I had already seen them.
Oh, okay. Well, Jim Harbaugh, apparently also known as Captain Comeback or Dog.
I saw that. I was like, wait, his nickname is Dog?
Dog.
Just Dog.
Now, did someone just overhear someone walking up and say, what's up, Dog?
They're like, oh, people call him like Dog.
People call Harbaugh Dog?
The bounty hunter?
Yeah. I mean, that is the same guy.
Jim Harbaugh was the prize.
Dog, sorry.
Dog was the... No, I can't do it. Look, Harbaugh has had nothing but success at every level. He was the prize.
I like that. Jeremy just chimed in with Jim Hardog. I like it a lot.
Thanks, Al.
You got it.
It's honestly pretty good.
Dog.
Jim Hardog. Okay. All right. Andy, what were you saying?
Well, Jim.
Yeah, he's had success at all levels.
Is replacing Brandon Staley. The clock ran out. There was optimism around Brandon Staley. It was an offense that we were excited about in the beginning. He was going for it on fourth down. Justin Herbert had a lot of success fantasy-wise. Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen. But the time rolls on, right? We're not winning enough ball games last year. Injuries, struggles. Eckler's going to be a free agent testing the water. He probably won't be back. Final year for Mike Williams. Keenan Allen is he's there, but it's his final year, and he's getting older.
And he's the number one cap hit for all wide receivers.
So why do we make a big deal about Jim Harbaugh? The reason being, he brought in Greg Roman.
I'd say, are you? I don't disagree with them. This was the high profile hire. As a fantasy player and a fantasy analyst, are you excited for this?
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
No. And
let's explain that in the context of Greg Roman, so the offensive coordinator.
Greg Roman, we've seen Greg Roman with Jim Harbaugh in the past. Oh. We saw them for 4 years together. And the passing attempts of those 4 years, they were the 31st, 31st, 32nd, and 29th in passing attempts. And we have far more experience with Greg Roman past that. And we're not talking about, hey, he usually is in the bottom half of passing attempts on his offenses. It's not like he's in the bottom 10 usually of his passing attempts. It's he's in the bottom 3 or the bottom or the bottom 2.
It's like he checks it after the week and is like, I need to get this lower to keep my position.
In all of his years, I'm just going to read the passing attempt rank. 31, 31, 32, 29, 31, 32, 32, 32, 9.
Whoops,
28. I mean, so we already know what they want to do. They want to run the ball. They want to win ball games with that style. And it probably will work. I think it's a great hire for Chargers fans and for winning ball games and making playoff appearances. It doesn't feel like what we want with fast pace of play, a lot of passing, getting the most out of Herbert. I'm on the clock right now, and I'm staring down. Like Herbert is at a value, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to take him. So I'm going to ask you two guys right now on, you know, whatever today is, February 27th. Would you take Herbert or Kyler?
Kyler.
Okay.
And that's not a blacklisting of Herbert. That would be the dumb thing to do. We just spent an offseason with McCarthy taking over for Kellen Moore and ascribing to him a run first defensive offense that turned into Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb winning you a title. But
these are not just words.
These are like Jim Harbaugh in Michigan barely threw the football. Greg Roman wasn't even over his shoulder saying, less throwing, less. This is a combination that wants to be hard-nosed, and they don't have a lot of cap space. I mean, they are right now the odds-on favorite for the destination where Blake Corum, running back,
would make sense, yeah.
Because it was Jim Harbaugh's running back at Michigan, and he's, you know, got the – I think he's got the chops to take it 20 times a game. But what does it mean for the passing game? It means that they're not going to put the ball into Justin Herbert's hands unless they have to. That's how it feels to me. And look, if your defense struggles and you can't play defense, then you're going to end up throwing the football a ton. But if they are in neutral game scripts, I would not be shocked if they were one of the highest running offenses this year. And unless it's Justin Herbert running it, that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt Keenan.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt Mike Williams. It can't hurt Quentin Johnson. He can't go. I mean, he's
can't
fine.
Hurt us
he's,
anymore.
Honestly, less targets for him. He's happy.
The days of Keenan Allen being just a PPR warrior, it feels like it may be over.
So, I think there's going to be a lot of fear, which means that maybe those players, maybe the Chargers will be dropping, non-running backs will be dropping down the board a little bit. And so you're going to be stuck in the Jason situation where he's staring down Kyler or Herbert, or you're going to be staring down just, Keenan Allen and some maybe, I don't know, Zay Flowers?
Yeah, because
what are you going to do?
Keenan's ADP, I think, will still be rather high.
I mean, he's phenomenal this year. He's like the wide receiver 4
great
in
player,
points per game.
And I think still could continue to do that at a high level. We just, I don't think we'll see the 10-plus catch games that we're used to.
So that's the lay of the land. By the way, he's going at wide receiver 25 and underdog.
Okay, that's...
But that's...
Yeah, I'll take that.
That's interesting.
That makes sense to me, too. I mean, he's not a ceiling week-to-week
We also don't know what the Chargers are going to do with their cap situation yet. I mentioned that number one cap hit in all of the NFL is Keenan Allen. Number two cap hit in all of the NFL is Mike Williams. So they're going to have to...
At the wide receiver position.
Okay. So... maybe they restructure, maybe they cut.
So the two highest cap hits are your wideouts on a team that now wants to run?
Correct.
Cool. Yeah. The Las Vegas Raiders, they avoided mutiny and revolt, and they brought back Antonio Pierce, whom the team loved, which, they went 5-4 with Antonio Pierce. And so it's a bit of a surprise to me that they are going to at least come out and say that Josh Jacobs can go test free agency. I still think there's a chance he comes back here. It seemed like Antonio Pierce had a fondness for what he could do in the offense.
Especially definitely does.
Combine that Luke Getsy is now the offensive coordinator for the Raiders, and his calling card over the last two seasons has been overseeing an offense number one and number two in rushing.
Yeah, this is going to be a team that is paying close attention to the quarterbacks in the draft. They've already come out and said that. They're a team that could trade up. They could pick up one of the rookies, and because they don't really have a quarterback. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, and that's a position they need to address. And then running back would be Zamir White, plus something in free agency. But the recipe here for Antonio Pierce is going to be to run the football, to play great defense, which I do think they have a good defense.
I
think they'll continue to be a good defense with Antonio Pierce.
Crosby's got to be one of the most fun players to watch in the NFL. He's a maniac out there. I love a lot of the talent on the roster. I don't like these coaching hires. I thought Luke Getsy was already a terrible offensive coordinator last year, and I'm not sure that
surprising.
I think Antonio Pierce is a good head coach. He certainly motivated them, and the team, the players loved him. They basically demanded that he stay on as head coach, and that's all great and fun and fine and dandy.
Unless
he's not actually a great head
coach,
unless
and
there's just motivation,
yeah.
And unless you lose. And I'm very, very, very uninspired by Antonio Pierce, Luke Getsy combo.
Interesting. Yeah, I like Pierce. I don't like Getsy, and I am concerned with how they'll compete in a division that is going to be a problem. Also, Getsy was not their number one choice. I mean, their number one choice was Cliff Kingsbury. Like, if you go watch Antonio Pierce talk about it, like, he expected Cliff Kingsbury to be the offensive coordinator.
It was reported that he was going to do a deal there.
Pierce thought that was happening, and then it wasn't. And, you know, he made a joke about Magic Johnson, you know, stealing him because, you know, Magic Johnson owns the Commanders.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, it took Cliff Kingsbury away.
What is
you're trying to find the connection?
Yeah, like a real hip modern day reference.
No, just the real Magic Johnson.
It was good. Yeah. It makes sense.
Let's move on to the 4-3 New England Patriots, who finished fourth in the division.
4-13.
What did I say?
4-3. They played very few games.
I'm so sure I said 13, and I didn't, huh?
Everyone's saying no.
4-3.
That's really weird when your brain does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does it all the time.
Yeah, Jason's a master.
Jason's like, that's normal.
What did I say?
Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, and that is weird. I mean, it's just weird to go into a season and not have Uncle Bill at the helm. We have a season where we're not going to get Bill Belichick press conferences. That's sad.
I don't watch those anyways.
Oh, the highlights. Alex Van Pelt taking over for Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator.
Some of you know him
as Gregory Alexander Van Pelt.
Right, and that would be his mama. He's bringing over the system from the Browns, similarities to what the Browns ran under Kevin Stefanski. So you expect a good running game, I think, here. They've got a really nice system in place for the ground attack and the offensive line system. So
I feel like we're saying the same thing for several teams. I mean, we've already had the conversation. I mean, just the running attack and what they're going to put into place. We had the conversation, was it on this show or the Footcast, where we said if Neighbors goes to Arizona and Harrison went to New England, who are you taking?
Yep.
Right. And I would take Neighbors.
I choose Harrison to Arizona.
Well, that is my choice as well.
Hold on. What if I tell you that new offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, his nickname is Pill.
Hmm. Like, take a chill?
Like, take a chill pill, yeah.
No, like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Or like that, too. I mean, there's...
Wait, is that... Kyle, were you telling me that's actually why he's called
Pill? No, he's not actually...
Oh, that was a joke?
No, it's correct.
That is true.
I was looking it up as well.
Wait. The Pillsbury Doughboy?
But Pill for short.
Okay, but... okay.
His nickname...
He's just chubby? So they call him Pill? Oh, man.
Is he ghastly white... And a little soft?
Well, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, man. That's
this
good.
Show is amazing.
When certain teams don't inspire you for fantasy, we are inspired by their nicknames. Right?
We're just here to bring the information.
Yeah.
It's going to be good defense. It's going to be good things for Ramondre.
The big networks out there, they're too scared to talk about Dog and Pill. That's why you tune into this broadcast.
That's right. Dog and Pill. That'd be a good show. They both want to run the ball.
Dog v. Pill.
Can I just get a little bit mad at social media and Pillsbury for a second?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
What did Pillsbury do?
You get something off your chest?
Yeah, my youngest son, he demanded, just beat me down to do this, like one of those, you know, you see the little short video of, oh, check out this new way to make a cookie bowl.
Okay, yeah.
You take the muffin pan.
And turn it upside down.
You smush the cookie dough over the cupcake mold. And then once you bring it out, it's like a little bowl. You put the ice cream in the cookie bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, it looked so easy.
Oh, no.
My oven is ruined. Just dripped. I don't know. I put too much of this cookie dough, and it just, I was like, I went to check on it when the timer was over, and actually my son went to check on it first.
Where'd the cookies go?
He goes over there, he goes, uh-oh. That's the Pillsbury. It's uh-oh. And
No bowl.
No, I still got to clean the bottom of my oven now.
That's what you get with them TikTok recipes. Huh?
I know. They look so easy.
Actually, like, Not just parts, whole things fall
yeah,
out?
Yeah, just I think I put way too much. It just apparently it expands when it cooks or something. I don't know. I was like, wait for your mom to be home. I'm not the baker. And then
I
ruined the oven. So lessons taught.
All right, let's take a quick break here and we'll come back with some more breakdowns. This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, this week on the Dog and Pill Show, let's move on to Seattle. Mike McDonald, Ryan Grubb, new head coach, new offensive coordinator. And so Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick, two of the oldest, I think they were the two oldest coaches in the league, are now gone.
And now he's being replaced by the youngest coach in the league, who is exactly half of his age.
Wow.
36 years old. Pete Carroll leaves at 72.
And their offensive coordinator needs no nickname. It's Ryan Grubb.
Grubb. Grub-a-dub. What is it? Grub-a-dub?
Tub? Grub-a-dub-dub? Three men in a tub?
There it is. Thank you.
So expectations for Seattle, who they've restructured the contract of Geno Smith. Right. And last year they were 22nd in points per game. Geno fell back from his Dave Canales year. 21st in yards per game. Do we expect good things from Mike McDonald?
So Mike McDonald he's one of these defensive hires. So he will be hopefully leaning on Ryan Grubb. How far will Ryan Grubb take this offense? I mean, his claim to fame is, you know, from the University of Washington, which things went okay for them last year. So can we bring an exciting, high-flying offense to Seattle? I mean,
they were 28.
At least the pieces are still there. So I think that the ADP of the Seattle players, I think will be very interesting. Kyle, can you pull up like where DK and Lockett are going.
And JSN.
Yeah, and JSN. Just to see, because it feels like there's going to be a lot of risk here. So, yeah, DK Metcalf going at wide receiver 20.
JSN at 36, Lockett at 54.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of the risk is already kind of baked into that ADP there.
They were 7th in passing percentage and 28th in rushing percentage, and their strength is definitely what Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet can bring. So, you know, hiring a defensive-minded head coach that has an opportunity to, bring in the Baltimore style of defense. Maybe that's what this team is looking forward to.
That should help we'll see, though, the other offense of college guys bringing their work to the NFL. I think it's been mostly miss. At least that's what my memory is telling me.
I can't think of great examples, and I could think of a ton of
the recent ones were Ja Rule was a colossal failure.
Chip Kelly.
And then Cliff Kingsbury.
Job.
Cliff is back. But
star.
He was walked out of the NFL.
Now, how will Eric Bieniemy do in the opposite transition?
Probably poorly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Tennessee, Mike Vrabel, another longtime head coach, gone. Brian Hallican, that's the name. Brian Callahan taking over, Nick Holtz, offensive coordinator. This was a team that was, you know, they had one identity last year, hand the ball off, 31st in pace of play, 9th in rush percentage, a new dawn.
And he hired his papa to be the offensive line coach, which was originally Bill Callahan's first
He's always been good at that. So they were 32nd last year, so nowhere to go but up. I mean, I don't know what there is to say about this Tennessee offense, because you're losing Derrick Henry to free agency. And what else do you have? I mean, we don't know what Will Levis will be long term. DeAndre Hopkins was the leading receiver. He is old.
And he could be gone.
Yeah, I mean, Will Levis is...
Is this the worst offense in the NFL?
I don't think so, because the Panthers are worse. Oh. But I do believe that this...
Maybe.
Will Levis, to me, showed flashes. And if you want to say, will Brian Callahan be seen as a good head coach?
I call him Hallican.
Hallican.
Go on.
Will he be seen as a good head coach? It's just... It's a synonymous question with, is Will Levis good? Like, that's the truth. If he can get the most out of Will Levis, and he can get him to be a competent quarterback, that'll be good. Otherwise, you know, this is another...
Didn't you say that you kind of thought Tennessee was the team in the top 10 picks that you thought could... Because their division's not as strong, and...
Well, when
like
you're...
You and didn't you say you love Brian Callahan?
When you're picking for... I do like... I will say this. The whole nepotism argument of, like, oh, these guys get their jobs because daddy had them, right, you know, open the door. You can make that as a negative argument. I actually see it as the opposite. Like, this kid grew up in the NFL. The reason McVay was hired so young is because he grew up, what was it, his grandfather was a GM or something. The Shanahan tree, you know. These guys know ball, and they grew up, and they've usurped their fathers now. I mean, he's hiring daddy as the offensive line coach. So I do like Brian Callahan, but he's going to be a failure if Will Levis doesn't step up. I mean, that's the sad reality of coaching.
Maybe. I think that Callahan will be given the freedom of, if you can see this year that it's not Will Levis, that they'll probably keep him around to try and rebuild who's next.
The odds are just bad for this whole situation to me.
Yes.
Like, Will Levis, you can say the word step up, but if you have the worst offensive line in the league and you don't have a running game and you don't have pass catchers,
And
you're not going to succeed. He's not going to be able to overcome that.
I don't know that there's a worse quarterback in the league to be behind a bad offensive line, because Will Levis cannot see pressure. I mean, he just gets smoked when guys come through.
Washington has made the two most uninspiring hires for me of the entire offseason. I feel like in previous years, we have been deluded enough to believe Washington's offensive weapons could be useful. Now we are having our hopes squashed instantly in the offseason. Like, I have no hope for Washington.
Isn't this a kindness, though?
It's a kindness to us, I guess, but it is also a dashing of any dreams that we might have. Look, I'm sorry, Washington fans out there, but Dan Quinn, let's give it another go at head coach, replacing Ron Rivera. I feel like you're basically replacing Ron Rivera with yourself, with Ron Rivera, another one. And then Cliff Kingsbury, how'd you get back? Who do you know, man?
I would like to read you a quote of how it happened.
Okay. All right.
Quote, so, well, did it work for those people? No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but it might work for us.
Oh, that's a Tobias quote. Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, that is how the meetings went. Tobias Funk was inside the Commanders' headquarters, and he said, it might work for us.
I mean, and Cliff had competition for his services. So, well done, Cliff. You've got an agent that works for you. We've been around the Cliff Kingsbury offense long enough. Good luck. Good luck. I mean, Dan Quinn, he ran a great defense in Dallas. I'll give him credit for that. I do think that, you know, he obviously led a team to the Super Bowl. This is why I say it reminds me of Ron Rivera. One Super Bowl appearance in Atlanta. Ron Rivera had his one Super Bowl appearance with Cam Newton. Both quarterbacks were the MVPs of those seasons where they went to the Super Bowl.
And both men are usually very well respected and loved. Like, the people around Dan Quinn and the people around Ron Rivera absolutely love these men.
A year and a half to a year and a half, you are beloved, I think, where you're at. And then it just runs out.
For fantasy purposes, this is Cliff Kingsbury. Dan Quinn's irrelevant. He's the defensive-minded head coach or the CEO here. So they brought in Cliff Kingsbury, and now we just go, okay, well, you know, he had Hopkins, right? And he had Hopkins run a route bush, if you remember that, where he just was, like, on the left running the same little two-yard out for a billion times.
Maybe the ball behind the line of scrimmage. That's Terry McLaurin thing.
So, like, yeah, I'm pretty much out on this offense. Like many struggling, middling head coach replacing teams, it's about the quarterback. We've got to see who they – we don't know who the quarterback's going to be here.
It'll be the number two pick.
Yeah, it'll probably be Drake May.
Yep.
And then we have – I'm going to read you the teams. The Bears, Bengals, Browns, Saints, Eagles, Steelers, and Bucks all made changes to the offensive coordinator, not the head coach. So Shane Waldron arrives in Chicago, comes from Seattle, where they – you know, the offense struggled last year after a resurgent 2022. Cincinnati, they did not want a belly itcher.
Nice.
Dan Pitcher, the new offensive coordinator.
He was their quarterback's coach.
So just moving familiarity with, you know, that's normally a good situation when you have a quarterback that is established and then you just next man up situation can run a similar offense. Ken Dorsey, who we saw fired midseason in Buffalo, takes over in Cleveland. The NFL's funny, man. Clint Kubiak takes over in New Orleans.
I think this one's at least noteworthy. I mean, speaking of the nepotism train, there is another Kubiak in town, and the Kubiak offense, it has been very successful. So, I mean, we'll
great running scheme.
Yes.
Usually, so for Alvin Kamara finding more space,
it did make me feel a little bit of hope for one more nice year from Kamara. Which I have him on a couple teams, and I've been very negative on his prospects. But the more I look at Kubiak, I say, okay, maybe we get one more year out of Kamara. Kellen Moore arrives in Philadelphia, replacing Brian Johnson.
I could not love what Philadelphia did more than what they did with both of their offensive and defensive coordinator hires. I just think they needed. They tried the next man up. You know, they lost their OC and DC last year, and they're like, well, the guys behind, this is your chance. Well, those guys behind failed. And so he's like, well, let's go out and get guys who have succeeded for a long time and proven that they're at least good at offense for an offensive coordinator, and they're good at defense for a defensive coordinator, and come in and run with a talented lineup. So I really, really, really like it.
We'll remind people on Kellen Moore because it wasn't the best for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Angel.
What is going on
know,
today?
We're all
we've
struggling
got an enunciation
here.
Filter.
They were 18th in offense
Los
this
Angeles.
Past year, but you know the 4 years prior for Dallas, Kellen Moore helped oversee the number one offense in yards, 14th, first, 11th. So he has a resume of success, despite last year being pretty bad.
We got Pittsburgh.
Number two.
Oh,
Arthur.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a plan.
Arthur Smith replacing Matt Canada.
He's back, baby.
Glad I can go ahead and filter the Steelers out of my plans. I mean, this is a 28th in points per game, 25th in pace of play, 25th in yards, 30th in pass percentage. Cool. Great. Let's bring in Arthur Smith. Look, it means good things for Najee Harris. It means good things for Jaylen Warren. It really does.
The only glass half full way I can come about this or look at it is in Tennessee, which was Derrick Henry, but at least for 2 years in Tennessee when Arthur was only the offensive coordinator, 12th in yards, 2nd in yards. I mean, it was all predicated on the run game and Derrick Henry, of course. Maybe Arthur Smith could be one of those guys who just he can't run the team. He has to only be focused on the offense. That's my hope.
No, look,
there
it's
are
fine.
Examples
it,
of that.
I agree with that, but we know what his preference is with the offense. And to me, this feels like the hiring feels like the Steelers saying we don't have a quarterback, and we're going to admit that. Like we don't have you could bring in a quarterback whisperer at offensive coordinator if you thought that there was a big gap to what you got from Kenny Pickett. or Mason Rudolph to, like, I don't know, middle of the pack, quality passer. And it feels like they just said, you know what, we don't got one. We don't have one. So we're just going to lean into what we do have and try to scrape our way through. So in that regard, I mean, it doesn't mean good things for the pass catchers. I mean, where are you going to be talking about Pat Freiermuth next year? You don't even know if Mason Rudolph's the quarterback.
Well,
the number one targets to the tight end position
is
were from Arthur Smith.
Is the Muth playing?
Yeah, but can he get Luth?
Is he going to play the Kyle Pitts role, or is he going to play the Jonnu Smith role?
He is made for the Jonnu Smith role for Arthur Smith.
Well, then we're all right.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, right. I'm out.
I'm in. I'm in on the Muth.
Yeah, go for it. Tampa Bay, they added Liam Cohen, replacing Dave Canales. This will be, I think the big thing will be the loss of Canales and whether or not that impacts Baker. But you did have a year there. It wasn't good for Geno when Canales left. There you go.
And if these trends continue, Liam will be the Kentucky offensive coordinator.
Next year?
Next year.
Oh, because he went Rams assistant, Kentucky OC, uh-huh. Rams OC, Kentucky OC.
Yeah.
And now
he's got a fallback.
Bucks OC.
Wow.
And then, hey, Kentucky.
How does Kentucky do that?
They love Liam.
They're just like, please don't go. And then he's just got a job if they want
him. Well, maybe he goes, I'm only going for a year. I'll be back.
Weird.
I'm going to go get this check real quick.
Need that NFL insurance.
I'll split the check with you. Let me go for a year.
Jeez. All right, 3 days left. One final reminder as we close it down. Your chance to get entered to win a Listener League spot. If you pick up the 2024 UDK Plus, you can go to ultimatedraftkit.com, get a chance to play with us in the Listener League, and jump right into the UDK, ultimatedraftkit.com. Thursday. I feel like I said that kind of
loud.
It was too loud. I didn't back off the mic. Sorry, guys. Thursday. We have a top 10 things to remember episode, one of the funnest episodes of the year. As we reflect on last season, things that we picked up, that we learned, Jason's got his little black book. He writes his little notes. Did any of the notes say, like, be better in league of record and don't let Andy win? Is that one of your tips for this upcoming? No?
No, last year it was remember that I'm the champ.
Okay, last year.
Yeah.
No, did you make a note, be better in the Dynasty League?
Oh, boy.
New.
We got two of your three tips, Jay.
I hate you guys.
All right. Our free agent predictions episode is coming soon as well. Thanks to the Deucers, Al Borland, Judge Giamatti, Rapscallion, for holding it down today. We'll be back on Thursday.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.